hearts and turn to song number 164. Song number 164. Praise Him, praise Him. Song number 164.
Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be able to come to church this morning. We thank you, Lord God, for sending your son Jesus Christ and for the free gift of salvation. And we pray, God, that you please bless this service. Help us, God, to be able to worship you. And we pray, God, that you please fill Pastor Andrew with your spirit as he preaches your word as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead and turn to song number 205. Song number 205. He keeps me singing. Song number 205.
Jesus, 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 sweetest name. through our announcements together. If you don't have a bulletin, slip up your hand nice and high. We'll get to you with a bulletin. On the inside, we have our service time. Sunday mornings at 10:30 is our preaching service. Sunday nights at 6. Wednesday nights at 7 is our Bible study. This week we'll be in Psalm 83. We've got the soul winning times listed there below, as well as salvations and baptisms. Congratulations to the Delgadillo family. Lucas Delgadillo was born June 21st at 4:04 a.m., 8 pounds, 9 ounces. Mom and baby are doing great. Next Sunday, 1 week from today, will be the donuts and coffee before the service in honor of everyone celebrating their birthday in June. Note, if you're interested in the unofficial DIY cruise missions trips, Brother Kevin Rowe has provided cost and itinerary details. Details are also available near the small town and reservation wall over here. And remember, you can always plan your own trips. And if you need help with that, we can give you tips and so forth. There's also a sign up over there for the Mexico City missions trip. This is not something that our church is putting on, but Steadfast Baptist Church is the one that's putting it on with Pastor Shelley. And so if you're interested in that, there are some details and information about a Mexico City soul-winning trip for those who speak Spanish. And then also the Fire-Breathing Baptist Fellowship, which if you look at the back of the bulletin down at the bottom, we've got the dates on that, August 27th through 31st. We are helping out with hotels on that. And so just out of curiosity, who is planning on going to the Fire-Breathing Baptist Fellowship? Keep them up really high because I want to get a count here real quick. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. All right, very good. Thank you. I just wanted to get a vague idea because Pastor Shelley was curious because of the fact that his church building is already kind of maxed out on space, even on Sunday mornings. And so with this conference, he's thinking about, you know, what he needs to do in order to create more space for the conference, to have enough room for everybody, which is a great problem to have, you know, when the church building's too full. It's better than being too empty. And so praise God for that, and may the Lord continue to bless Steadfast Baptist Church out in Cedar Hill, Texas. On the back, we've got the note about the baby shower. And this is going to be coming up on Sunday, July 13th. So 2 weeks from today, 2 to 4 p.m. And here's the thing. Don't ever be shy about coming to these. Even if you don't know Peyton, just show up anyway. Get to know her. And everybody's invited to these. And if you could, though, it'd be nice to RSVP to Mrs. Jenny Akinosho right over here. And so, but you can also just show up to these kind of things, of course. And it's preferred that you don't bring little kids unless they're nurslings. But it's preferred that you leave them with your husband. But again, all ladies and girls are invited to attend Peyton's baby shower 2 weeks from today, right here at 2 o'clock. Cake and refreshments will be provided. Soul winning in downtown Phoenix for First Fridays. There's going to be an opportunity to go out with Brother Steve Tilson on these First Fridays that he's been hosting for the last several months. That's going to be on July 4th at 6 p.m. And the information is there, where to meet up, etc. Other upcoming events, I'm going to be preaching in Vancouver, Washington on August 7th on a Thursday night. So in case you know anybody in that area. And then Pastor Jim Weeb is going to be preaching here at Faithful Word on Sunday, August 10th. Now, if you're not familiar with Pastor Weeb, his son has been here many times. I believe his son even led the singing for us. And he's a really cool guy. He visited with us a lot. I've seen him at a lot of other events. I've seen Pastor Weeb at a lot of events in places like Seattle and Spokane, Portland, places like that. And he is pastoring in Canada. I don't remember off the top of my head exactly where in Canada, because I just don't really know Canada geography that well. But I'm pretty sure it's the one just north of North Dakota, okay? Whatever that place is called. I don't know if that's Saskatchewan, Manitoba, what is it? Winnipeg, Manitoba. All right, I should have known that from Ticket to Ride board game. I'm pretty sure Winnipeg is one of the stops on there. But anyway, Many, many years ago, they just had a group of soul winners up there meeting. And I remember when Brother Segura flew out there and did like an intensive week-long soul winning training with them. And then they just kept on soul winning. And eventually Pastor Thompson planted a church up there. So they've got an independent fundamental Baptist church there in Winnipeg, Manitoba. And Pastor Weeb is the pastor. And so he's going to be coming and visiting us on August the 10th. All right, that's about it for announcements. Let's go ahead and sing our next song. Come lead us.
In your songbooks, turn to song number 22. Song number 22, Are You Washed in the Blood? Song number 22.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His graceless power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white?
Song number 63, song number 63, What a Day That Will Be, song number 63.
There is coming a day. What a day, glorious day that will be.
pass our offering plates. As the plates go around, let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. As we always do, we'll read the entire chapter beginning in verse number 1. Follow along silently with Brother Corbin Brock as he reads Ephesians 6, beginning in verse number 1.
Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen.
Our Father in heaven, thank you for this beautiful day that you have given us, Lord. Lord, also thank you that your word tells us and reminds us to be careful to maintain good works. We thank you, Lord, that this church takes that charge seriously and walks it out every day. Father, we ask now that you'd help our hearts to turn to the Word of God now. We pray that you would give Pastor Anderson wisdom and utterance to declare to us your Word and what you would have us to hear. We pray that we would take it to our hearts, Lord, and learn and grow by it. We ask for your blessing now on all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Man, the title of my sermon this morning is Reasons to Memorize Scripture. Reasons to memorize Scripture. And when we think about memorizing Bible verses, we usually think about children doing that because a lot of times kids will be taught to do that when they're in school or in Sunday school or what have you. But this is not something that is just for children. This is a practice that we should actually maintain throughout our whole lives and keep on learning the Bible, studying the Bible, and memorizing verses of Scripture. I'm going to give you about six reasons this morning why you, and I don't care how old you are, I don't care who you are, man, woman, boy, girl, why you should be memorizing Scripture. Point number one is so that you can be ready to preach the gospel at any moment. So you'd be ready to preach the gospel at any moment. Sometimes you don't have the Bible handy, or it's just not convenient to pull it up on your phone and get to that app and do all that. You know, or like, for example, recently I actually went out in the water to witness to some people that were out in the ocean. I don't know if some of you saw that picture that I posted on Facebook, but I swam out there because I saw some young guys that were out there and they seemed like, I don't know, I just felt like they might be receptive. So I swam out there, and I didn't have my Bible, I didn't have my phone, and part of the time I was even treading water, and so therefore I wouldn't have even had my hands free, but I was able to just preach the gospel from memory, and it really only takes a handful of verses to do this, right? Just the Romans Road, a few supplemental verses. So if you just learn 8, 9, 10, 11 good verses from the Bible, you could easily be able to just preach the gospel to somebody without having to have the Bible in front of you. Okay, right there in your Bible where you are in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15, it says in the catalog of the whole armor of God, it says, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And so here's the thing. When it comes to preaching the gospel, there's preparation involved, right? You got to be ready to preach the gospel. In Romans chapter 1, it says, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so you want to be ready to preach the gospel. You want to have the preparation of the gospel of peace on your feet. And so knowing the verses is part of that process. Not only that, but sometimes you're going to be in casual situations where maybe pulling out the Bible would be a little much, or it might not be appropriate. Let's say you're working together and it's a situation where you're not going to get in trouble at work or something, and you're just kind of hanging out and working together. Maybe you're driving in the work truck. Maybe you're the one behind the wheel. You know, another reason why you're not going to be reaching for the Bible or pulling out your phone or something like that. But just situations where maybe you're doing mindless work with your hands and you're kind of chatting with the guy next to you, wouldn't you want to be able to just casually just roll into preaching the gospel and have those verses rolling off your tongue? So, yes, I know you can just use the Bible. I know you can have it underlined and tabbed up. But let's face it, there are going to be situations where having those Bible verses memorized is going to come in handy. Not only that, but even if you're just out door to door with your Bible, soul winning, having the verses memorized is just going to cause you to be more fluid in your presentation. It's going to cause you to be more smooth, because sometimes when you're preaching the gospel, you could freeze up a little, right? Even when I'm behind the pulpit, sometimes I'm preaching and I kind of freeze up a little. And I have these little tricks for when I freeze up. Like, I'll just tell people to turn in your Bible somewhere. And then while you guys are turning there, it kind of buys me a little time to figure out, like, what the heck was I talking about? Where was I going with this? And so you know, you use little tricks like that. Well, here's the thing. When you're out soul winning, if you have the verses memorized, while you're telling them the verse, because it's just muscle memory and it's so ingrained, then you can kind of be thinking about, okay, where am I going next? What am I going to say next? It's just one less thing that you have to think about if you know the verses. So if you're serious about winning souls to Christ, one of the first things I would recommend you do is memorize those 10, 11, 12 verses, however many verses are in your presentation. I'm talking Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, right? Romans 5:8, Romans 10:9, whatever it is, John 3:16, Acts 16:31, Revelation 21:8. And here's the thing, you know, learning those verses should be pretty easy because you probably heard them a lot anyway. So this is some low-hanging fruit for memory verses, to learn those soul-winning verses so you can be ready to preach the gospel. Famous verse also in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, right? Somebody might even ask you something about salvation. Man, you want to be ready to get in there with an effective gospel presentation. And let me tell you something. I've been saved since I was 6 years old, but I did not know how to do soul winning until I was like 17. And so there were times when I was a teenager that I had just these gift wrapped opportunities to give someone the gospel. And I did a poor job at it because I'd never been trained. I'd never practiced. I'd never learned. And obviously the best way to learn is to get out there and do it. Get out there as a silent partner. Get out there and shadow somebody. But you know what? Learning the verses is part of it as well. And so memorize the verses, number one, so you can be ready to preach the gospel at any moment. But number two, so that you can meditate on the Word of God day and night. Okay, go if you would to Psalm 1, famous passage in Psalm 1. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read for you from Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Okay, so he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And when you're meditating about something, you're thinking about it, you're mulling it over and over. It's not something that just briefly enters your mind. It's when you stop and settle on something and think about that one thing for an extended period of time. Meditating on the Word of God, thinking about it, ruminating on it. And what's interesting is when we use the word ruminate, you can also not only have people ruminating about things in their mind, but we also use that word to describe what cows do with grass, right? Rumination, when they chew the cud, right? They chew their grass, they swallow it, then they cough it up and chew on it a little more. Swallow it again, barf it up, chew on it a little more. And here's the thing about that, is that the Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Right? So rumination, meditation, yes, it takes place in the mind and in the heart, but it also takes place in the mouth. Right? Being able to quote scripture is also helping you to think about it and think it through, being able to say it and for it to roll off the tongue. And so the Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Look, we all want to prosper. We all want to have good success. Well, then let's meditate in the Word of God day and night. Look at Psalm 1, verse 2. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Look, same thing that was told to Joshua about prospering and having good success. Whatever he does will prosper, right? How would you like for whatever you touch to turn to gold, right? Or whatever you touch can turn to excrement if you're under the curse of God in your life, right? But you want God to bless you, then meditate in God's word day and night. Whatsoever you do prospers. And notice it says he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. That kind of goes back to point one about being ready to preach the gospel, bringing forth fruit, right? Winning souls to Christ. And then it also says his leaf also shall not wither, right? You see Christians that sort of just dry up and wither up and fade away. I'm not talking about the people who rage leave the church because they're bozos. I'm talking about people who just slowly get backslidden. They slowly get cold. They slowly just fade away and they come less and less until finally they're just gone one day. And you wonder, man, that person was so fired up. That person was so into it. Why are they gone? Their leaf has withered, right? Why? The Bible says that if we meditate on God's word day and night, that's going to keep us fresh, right? Keep us green. Keep us bringing forth fruit. Keep the leaf from withering. And whatsoever you do, it shall prosper. So number one, be ready to preach the gospel at any moment. Number two, so you can meditate on the word of God day and night. And let me just give you a little tip at this point. Start with Bible passages that are already familiar to you. Okay, memorize your favorites. Now, why is that? Because it is way easier to memorize a famous passage or something that you're already familiar with. And so it'll be like a low-hanging fruit that gives you a little victory, a little win, a little an easy victory, right? A confidence builder. That's the word. I was trying to find that word. A confidence boost is what you need. A confidence builder like, hey, I can do this. Because a lot of people just think, oh, I can't do that. You know, only little kids can do that because their brain is special. But you know what I've noticed is that adults are better at memorizing scripture than little kids. In fact, adults are pretty much better at learning anything than little kids. This is a myth that says, oh, yeah, little kids, man, they can just learn anything. They're just like a sponge. No, it's just that they're putting in the time. They go to school for 7 hours a day or something. You know, if you went and trained on something for 7 hours a day, you'd actually make faster progress than they would. You know, if you at age 40 went into those fourth grade math classes, you'd smash those math classes if you were actually paying attention, okay? So it's just an excuse of like, oh, they're special, they're little, they're young, they're whatever. No, my friend, it's just something that anybody can do. Anybody can learn scripture. I remember a video of Pastor Roland Rasmussen, And he was like memorizing and quoting scripture in his early 90s. I forget how old he was when he passed away, but he was right around 90, 91, 92, somewhere in that neighborhood. And I remember he was literally working on Bible memory all the way to the bitter end if a 90-year-old man can learn scripture. But you know what? I know some 50-year-olds who are incapable of learning anything new. I know some 60-year-olds that are incapable of learning anything new. They're like a broken record every time you talk to them, and they just keep saying the same things. But look, I also know 90-year-olds that are memorizing scripture and learning new things. And by the way, I used to have doctrinal discussions with Pastor Rasmussen in his late 80s, and I would explain to him things from the Bible that were new to him, and then he'd come back 3 months later and be like, hey, I was thinking about what you told me last time. Here's what I discovered. And then he'd teach me something about it, showing that he had learned the information, processed it, and then took it to another level. Then he's giving it back to me. Right? Hey, that's where I want to be when I'm 90. Okay? Don't be one of these people that just says, oh, I'm too old and I'm 36. What the heck? Right? Hey, be a lifelong learner. Amen. Keep studying. Keep meditating in the Word of God. And when you think about Joshua, was Joshua a young man when he was told, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night? Was he a young man? No, because if you remember, he is like 80 years old or something. Okay? And here's the thing. Some of the scriptures had just come out. They had just dropped. And he's like 80. And he's learning them. He's memorizing them. He's reading them, right? What's your excuse, 50-year-old? And so start with stuff that's already familiar to you just so you can get the confidence boost. What am I talking about? You know, Psalm 23, 1 Corinthians 13, Psalm 1, right? Just all the famous passages that you've heard your whole life. One of the things that I started with was the pastoral epistles. Because typically, the pastoral epistles are packed with verses that you hear in church a lot. 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus is what I'm talking about. Man, you go to church, constant preaching out of 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus. And those chapters, you probably already know half the verses if you've been in church for decades, just because you've heard them preached so many times. You've talked about them so many times. You know, John chapter 3 is another one that you could go to that's pretty famous. John chapter 1. What have you? And, you know, it doesn't matter how long they are because you just spread it out over time and you just learn it over the course of weeks or months or however long it takes. So start with passages that are familiar. Number one, so you can be ready to preach the gospel at any moment. Number two, so you can meditate on the Word of God day and night. And number three, so you can avoid sin. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 so that you can avoid sin. One of the things that was told to Joshua was that if he meditated in the Word of God, then that would help him to observe to do all that was written therein. So he's going to be more likely to do the Word of God if he's meditating on the Word of God. So this can help you to avoid sin. Of course, the famous verse is Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Right? I memorized scripture so that I wouldn't sin is another way of saying that. Right? Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Meaning, we do not war in accordance with the flesh. Or we don't war in a fleshly realm or in a physical realm. So, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And so the war that we fight as Christians, the battle that we fight is within our own minds and within our own hearts. And then after that, it's for the hearts and minds of other people. You know, first we got to get our own mind thinking right. Then we help other people to get their mind right. And we're not involved in a physical fight, right? We don't want to go and fight against people who have wrong doctrine and physically attack them and assault them and kill them, right? And obviously, there are people in this world that think along those sick, wrong lines. But the Bible teaches that our fight is not a physical fight, it's a spiritual fight. And first we have to win the battle for our own minds. And then we can win the hearts and minds of others. And so we want to cast down imaginations. We want to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Flip over, if you would, to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, because the fourth reason to memorize the Bible is so that you can avoid doctrinal error. So that you can avoid doctrinal error. You see, many people today, they don't really read their Bibles at all. Or they read their Bibles very little. Or if they do read the Bible, they zone out while they're reading the Bible. Or they speed read the Bible or something. And they end up just getting a sloppy understanding of the Bible instead of really slowing down and reading carefully. And you see people all the time, you know, and this is an example we've been talking about lately, so I'll bring it up now, is they'll pull out these verses from Romans 11 to teach this pro-Israel, pro-Zionist doctrine. And it's like, they'll pull out Romans 11 verse 2, and you're just like, can you read? Are you even reading this? Did you even read the first seven verses? And if you actually would just slow down and read Romans 11, 1 through 7, then you wouldn't be quoting verse 2 to tell me that God is not done with Israel. Because if you actually read those verses, they are super clear. And I'm not even going to explain it to you. I'm not even going to explain it to you because you know what? You go read it and read it slowly. And if you can't figure out what it means, then you either need to check your IQ or your salvation or both. Because it's very clear what he's saying in those verses. And I really want to explain it to you, but I refuse to. Because, it's time for you to pick up the fork and feed yourself. And figure this out, okay? Because it's real simple. But here's what's interesting. You know, I was raised with that pro-Israel Zionist doctrine my entire life. And I mean, I don't even think raised with it is even the right word. I mean, I was brainwashed with it. And just like everybody is. So I was just totally just had this ingrained in me. And here's the thing. This is in the early days of the internet when I figured this stuff out. And so I didn't have the luxury of someone just explaining it to me or breaking it down to me. No one explained it to me the right way. All I had was the false teaching the whole time. Okay. And then, you know, I started memorizing a ton of scripture. And it causes you to really slow down and just focus on the same phrase because it takes me a really long time to memorize verses. To memorize five verses, and please don't think I'm disabled or something, but to memorize five verses in a row and to be able to, you know, say, takes me approximately 2 hours, you know, usually to learn, unless they're famous verses, you know. So it takes me like 2 hours to memorize like a section of five verses, right? So spending 2 hours on five verses, you really think about what those verses are saying and the connections and things. And especially once you move on from the famous passages and maybe you start memorizing something unfamiliar to you. Because I remember one time I picked a book to memorize because I was like, you know what? I don't understand any of this. So I'm like, I'm going to memorize it because I feel like if I memorize it, I'll have to understand it at the end of memorizing it. Just spending hours. And I did. And the thing about that is that when you slow down and read it over and over again, even your really deeply seated wrong ideas can get broken free and loose. And so ultimately, back in 2006, I ended up realizing that this doctrine that the Jews are God's chosen people in the New Testament and that God, you know, is still blessing Israel and everything, I realized it was a false doctrine. And the thought entered my mind one evening while I was preaching in the summer of 2006. And all of a sudden, verses that I had memorized just came flooding into my mind. And God really used Bible memory to straighten me out on that doctrine because I had memorized so many verses that flew in the face of that false doctrine. And so I think that Bible memory can really help you avoid doctrinal error by slowing down, really learning a text and really understanding it. Psalm 119, look at verse number 97. I really like this mem section because these are, of course, named after the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And this is the letter M, which is called mem in Hebrew. And I like it because it makes me think of the word memorize in English. And it really is a great little section that really ties in well with Bible memory. So it's kind of a coincidence, but it's a fun coincidence. It says in verse 97, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me." So because God's commandments are ever with me, I'm wiser than my enemies. Or you could say, you know, my enemies are always with me, unfortunately. Either way you want to interpret that. But look, through the commandments, he said, I'm wiser than my enemies. God's law is my meditation all the day. He says in verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. What's funny is that recently I preached a sermon and somebody left a comment and said, hey, you need to be, referring people to the experts instead of just giving them your opinion. And I'm thinking to myself, who are these experts that I should be referring people to? Who are these experts on the Word of God is what I'd like to know. Where are they? Who are they? Oh, they have a PhD from Harvard or whatever. Here's the thing about that is that the real experts on the Word of God are the people who meditate in God's Word day and night and the people who put it into use, put it into practice, people who are doers of the Word, not just crusty academics who study a bunch of theology and Greek philosophy. Amen?
Amen?
You know, who are these experts? And you know what? You're going to spend the rest of your life being disappointed by experts. Because once you get good at something or learn something, you'll start to realize that a lot of the experts are overrated. You know, you need to refer people to the experts. No, my friend, God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And so, no, we don't need an expert to teach us the Bible. We need a Spirit-filled man of God to teach us the Bible, who loves the Word of God, and it's his meditation all day. And the Bible says we can understand more than the teachers or the experts, right? We can understand more than our enemies. We can confound them with a spirit and with words and reason and logic and Bible that they can't gainsay nor resist. They just can't. I understand more than the ancients. Oh, you're too young. Well, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. You know, some old fart who doesn't keep the Bible, who doesn't keep the precepts, he doesn't know anything. Some boomer that's just in the casino, ding, 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 ding. Yeah, I think I can take him and teach him a thing or two. I think a child could teach him a thing or two. So here's the thing. We should respect those who are old, but the Bible says the hoary head, meaning the white hair, is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness, right? But if you have a person with white hair that's a drunk and a gambling addict and somebody who doesn't care about the things of God, well, it's easy to see how David could say, well, I understand more than the ancients because they're all down at the casino. I understand more than the ancients because they watch Fox News all day instead of reading their Bible. Amen. I understand more than the boomers because I memorize Scripture. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I've refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. Again, you can see how keeping God's word, and by the way, keeping God's word is a double meaning because it's keeping it in the sense of memorizing it. So you kept it. It's in your heart. And also keeping it in the sense of doing it and following it and putting it into practice. He says that keeping God's word and, you know, not sinning go hand in hand. Right? So that's why it said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Verse number 102, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. So through memorizing Scripture, learning the Bible, studying the Word of God, listening to preaching, you get understanding. And when you get understanding, you hate every false way. You know, when you know the truth about something, it irritates you when people lie about it or when people teach wrong about it. And so again, what did we say on this point? Memorize the Bible so you can avoid doctrinal error. Not only will you avoid doctrinal error, you'll hate doctrinal error because you actually know what the truth is. But not only that, memorize Scripture, go to Colossians chapter 3 so that you can be filled with the Spirit of God. So you can be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, here's the most famous verse on being filled with the Spirit of God. It says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So, very famous verse about being filled with the Spirit, singing, right? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. But look at the parallel passage in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now you can notice that the second half of that verse is virtually the same. Very similar, isn't it? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, and so forth. But the first half is what is dramatically different. In Ephesians, it said, be filled with the Spirit. And in Colossians, it said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Notice how these two are being used interchangeably, because they're both connected, right? Being filled with the Spirit and being filled with the Word of God are similar concepts, right? And so we want to make sure that we memorize Scripture so we can meditate on Scripture so we can be filled with the Spirit of God. Obviously, we want to be also singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. But we also want to just have God's Word dwelling in us richly in all wisdom, as it says there in verse 16. Go, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. Here's the sixth and final reason why we should memorize God's Word. We said, number one, so you can be ready to preach the gospel at any moment. Number two, so you can meditate on the Word of God day and night. Number three, so that you can avoid sin. Number four, so that you can avoid doctrinal error. Number five, so that you can be filled with the Spirit. And number six, so that you will always be ready with the right verse at the right time. Here's the thing, not just for winning souls to Christ, not just having that memorized, which is very important and the first importance, but how about just having other verses memorized, just ready to drop at the right time? And I'm not just saying so that you can be cool at parties, although this is cool at parties, amen? You know what I mean? You know, what's funny is the people of this world at parties, they'll every once in a while like quote poetry or quote Shakespeare, right? Or quote some ancient author and kind of just drop that perfect quote at the perfect time. Well, here's the thing. How about the biblical version of that? How about just being able to drop the perfect biblical quote at the right time? And I'm not talking about being cool at parties. That was a joke. I'm talking about where there's a situation where someone has a question, someone needs advice, someone needs encouragement, someone needs help, and you know what verse to give them. I'm not talking about showing off. I'm talking about teaching someone exactly what's needed at that time. Look what the Bible says in Isaiah 50, verse 4. It says, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. So what's the Bible saying? Learn the Bible so that you will be able to speak a word in season, which means at the right time, at the right moment, to him that is weary, right? So somebody's down, somebody's discouraged, somebody's struggling. You have the perfect verse to encourage them right there because you memorized it. Or someone is drifting into doctrinal error. You got the perfect verse to combat that, right? Somebody is thinking about making a bad decision. Boom, you got the right verse. Somebody just is down, needs encouragement, needs lifting up. You can help them out. You got it. You know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned, right? These things are learned. They are learned. They're not in, you're not just born knowing everything, born with all this talent, born with all this wisdom. No, it's learned. It's called learning the Bible. And because you've learned the Bible, you can now speak the right word at the right time to the right person, because you have memorized. And what does the Bible say? We cannot help but speak the things that we've seen and heard. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth good things. And so if you have a bunch of good things in your heart, a bunch of scripture in your heart, you're going to be able to pull that stuff out and pull out good. And you know what? I guarantee you that there are people in here that could quote movies all day long. They could quote pop songs all day long. They could sing entire albums of pop songs. But that's all wood, hay, and stubble, my friend. Like, what is that really worth in the scheme of things? You know every single quote from every movie, and you can recite this movie, song, play, poem, whatever. Hey, how about learning the Bible? Learning the Bible. because all that other stuff is just temporary and meaningless in comparison with God's eternal word. So let me give you just some practical tips on memorizing the Bible. First of all, have a plan. You got to have a plan. And this is just how to succeed at anything in life. So if you're like, hey, I don't even care about Bible memory. Okay, well, here's just how to succeed at anything in life. Have a plan. If you don't, if you're just going to the gym and just throwing weight around, you're not going to go far. You got to have a plan. You know, you got to have, you got to log every workout. You got to write down every rep and plan out. This is the exercise I'm going to do. This is how many reps I'm going to do. Something I did last week. Got to get some progressive overload. You got to have a plan. I'm sure at your job, you have a plan, right? Hopefully you women who are homemakers have a plan for breakfast, lunch, dinner, plan for homeschooling, plan for activities, plan for everything about how you're going to get things done. You got to have a plan, right? And people, they have to-do lists, charts. You know, personally, I use spreadsheets for everything. I have just spreadsheets upon spreadsheets on my computer, and I literally look at like 12 or 13 spreadsheets a day. Every single day, because I'm just, everything's a spreadsheet for me. You know, that's just, that's how I keep track of my Bible memory. It's how I keep track of just all other things that I do in my life, my schedule and everything. But whatever tool you use, whether it's calendar, spreadsheet, to-do list, notepads, whatever you use, you got to have a plan. Because I do sometimes like to physically write things down as well. But you got to have a plan. You know, and so here's the thing. You don't have to have some crazy plan. You could just have a really mellow plan like, hey, I'm just going to learn one verse every day or something, or I'm just going to learn one verse every other day. Here's the thing. You'll get a lot done if you're consistent. And I mean, learning one verse a day is not really even that crazy. And what if you did that for the whole year consistently? 1 year from now, you know, 365 verses? Okay, stop and think about that. I mean, you could literally memorize the entire book of Revelation. It's like 404 verses. You could like have the whole book of Revelation memorized in like 14 and a half months or something, which seems like a crazy thing to have memorized, right? But it could be done easily. Or you say, I don't know if I can do one verse a day. You could literally just do one verse a week. And then at the end of the year, you have 52 verses. That's like two good-sized chapters of the New Testament. You can have two chapters done a year from now. And I mean, big chapters, 25 verses each, 26 verses, whatever. And so if you make a plan and you be consistent with it, you're going to be able to get a lot done. You'll be able to shock yourself how much you could get done if you just break it into small pieces. I remember when I was a little kid, this kid at school said, oh, my grandma has Psalm 119 memorized. And I didn't believe him. Because I'm like, that's 176 verses. How could she have Psalm 119 memorized? I don't believe it. But then you think about it, that's like 6 months, one verse a day, 6 months. Grandma's had her whole life to do this. Grandma's had decades to get it done, okay? So it's very easy to believe. So number one, have a plan. Number two, start with passages that are most familiar. We already talked about that, right? Low-hanging fruit, easy stuff. Figure out which verses you already have memorized. And then just like learn the rest of the chapter or just learn the rest of the passage. Like, oh, I already have five verses in this chapter memorized and the chapter only has 20 verses in it. So I'll just learn the other 15 and kind of put it all together. Okay. So number one, have a plan. Number two, start with passages that are most familiar. Number three, and this one's going to surprise you, but this one's very important. Do not review too much. Don't practice too much, don't review too much. Okay, now this one is very counterintuitive, but this is the mistake I made in the early days. When I first started memorizing chapters of the Bible when I was 17 years old, is I recited them every day. So I would just, every chapter I knew, I recited every day. Here's the problem with that. Number one, you're going to burn out pretty fast because it's just going to take you so long to just recite chapters. And then also, it's going to get boring doing the same stuff. But more importantly, if you do that, it will never get into your long-term memory. Because the way that your memory works is that if you're constantly reviewing something, your brain will be like, oh, well, I don't need to put this in the long-term memory because we're going to do this in like 24 hours. So it puts it in a short-term memory. Okay, so I made the mistake of memorizing a bunch of chapters when I was a teenager, saying them every day for like 6 weeks. Until I got burned out, Then I went just a few weeks without saying them, and then I had forgotten them. And then I was all messed up, and then I was discouraged, like, oh, man. Whereas, if I would have followed the method that I'm about to give you right now, I could have put in way less work and succeeded. Less work, more success. So here's the thing. It's not always about working harder. Sometimes it's about working smarter. Okay? So here's the key with don't review too much, okay? Once you memorize a passage, whether it's, you know, a little section or a chapter, whatever you choose to do, once you memorize a section, quote it every day for 1 week, then switch it to once a week, okay? And this way you're kind of like easing it into the long-term memory. So you quote it every day for a week, and it's really easy to remember my method because it's just, it's so simple. Every day for a week, every week for a month, every month for a year, and then eventually you just go to once a year. Like there are chapters that I could just quote once a year, say them word perfect, never quote them again for an entire year, and I will be able to quote them again because they're in the long-term memory. I mean, here's the thing. You could probably quote things from 10, 20 years ago that are in your long-term memory, things that you will never forget. Like we all know John 3:16, we could never think about John 3:16 for 30 years and we'd be able to quote John 3:16 because it's in the long-term memory, okay? And so the idea here is don't review too much. Don't just be like, oh, I already did the verses this morning. I'm going to do them again in the afternoon. I'm going to do them again at night. Discipline yourself to say, okay, I'm going to do these and I'm going to wait 24 hours on these. And I'm going to wait a week on these, and I'm going to wait a month on these until you get them in the... Now, once they're in the long-term memory, you can just quote them for pleasure whenever you want. But the process of moving them into the long-term memory is important. And by the way, those that are in school, you know, those that are in school, this is helpful too. Sometimes studying too much can be harmful. Sometimes it's good to learn stuff, take a break, come back to it, start moving things into your long-term memory instead of just always short-terming it, okay? And so anyway, I hope that that helps you. So number one, have a plan. Number two, start with stuff that's familiar. Number three, don't review too much, okay? You can overdo the review. If you're like, oh man, I'm itching to do some Bible memory, but my review is not due, well, that, you know, then just switch to something else. Learn a new passage, switch to a different chapter, do something else. But, you know, you gotta have a system. And then fourthly, recite it out loud. If you recite it out loud, this is going to help you memorize a lot. And don't do this necessarily in a public place where people think that you have Tourette's syndrome or something and think that you're crazy just walking down the street, you know, reciting the book of Revelation, walking down the street. You know, we've all been guilty of it at one time or another, you know, ranting through the book of Revelation in a public place and then, oh, wait, I just realized where I am. But, you know, you don't want to do that. But I'm saying, you know, if it's appropriate, you could recite it out loud. Then you kind of get muscle memory involved. You're saying it, you're hearing it, muscle memory, and that helps too. And then lastly, use the Word of God. You know what I found are the easiest verses to memorize? The ones that you use. So like verses that I preach about a lot are really easy to remember. Verses that I use out soul winning, really easy to remember. Verses that I find myself explaining to other people and talking to other people about, those end up being easy to remember because you're using them. And that's why the Bible says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And then it says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Notice that the opposite of a forgetful hearer is a doer of the work. So if you do the work, you will remember the word. Okay, that's how this works. And let me just close by giving you this encouragement that I truly believe that anyone can do this. I don't think that you have to be some kind of a special savant or some kind of a gifted genius or something like that to memorize the Bible. You know, the chart that I first was using to memorize the Bible, it said on there like, hey, if you're intelligent enough to graduate from high school, then, you know, you should be able to memorize the whole New Testament if you put your effort into it. And I read that and I thought like, hey, that's encouraging because, you know, I graduated from high school. So I think I can do this. And, you know, but I agree with that. You know, I think even if you didn't graduate from high school, you could still do a lot of great Bible memory. You know, you just might not finish the whole New Testament, you know, but then again, who will, right? I mean, that's a crazy task, but it could be done. Anything's possible. And the thing is, I just want to encourage you that you can do this. Anyone can do this. It's not just children. You can do this at any age. And look, if you're getting older and you say, well, I'm just too old for this, you probably need it more than anyone. Because you know what you notice about people as they get elderly? They start losing their memory, don't they? You know, and they have cognitive decline, and they can even sometimes get memory disorders like Alzheimer's or dementia. And these are scary things. They're sad. It's sad to see people go through these things, right? But I do think, obviously, there are genetic components and dietary components and lifestyle components. But you know what? I think that a big part of staving off cognitive decline as you get older is using your brain. Using your brain. Now, look, I'm not that old. I'm only 43, but I can remember at various times over the last several years when I felt like my mind wasn't as sharp as it used to be. And then I delved into some kind of a mental exercise or study, and then it was like, boom, it just came back, you know? And I remember my grandparents, they were sharp all the way to the end, but, you know, every night they watched Jeopardy. And here's the thing is that when they're watching Jeopardy, they're just like, they're having to remember like random facts, you know, and they're just remembering all these random facts. They're watching Jeopardy. And then in the morning, they're doing crossword puzzles. And again, what do crossword puzzles make you do? Like remember all these random facts. So I think that that stuff actually was helping their brains not experience cognitive decline. And of course, watching Jeopardy wouldn't be enough. They were obviously had to participate, you know. And they're doing the crossword puzzles and stuff like that. And so they're keeping their brains sharp. They're using their brains. Well, here's the thing. Memorizing scripture is using your brain. It's using the memory part of your brain. If you feel like, oh, my memory's slipping, you need to be doing this more, not less, in order to sharpen up your brain. And I've noticed in my life that when I'm slacking on my Bible memory, then my memory's just not as good in general. And then whenever I ramp up my Bible memory, I find that I'm like, I go to type something in the GPS, I'm like, I already remember how to get there. You know what I mean? Because it's just like my brain is just on a higher level when I'm doing a lot of memorization. Because of the fact that it's just like anything else. It's like if you use your muscles, they get stronger. If you don't use them, they get weaker. Your brain's the same way. And so anybody can do this. I am 100% for teaching kids scripture, but you know what? Adults, middle-aged, elderly, I think that this is really something that everybody could get involved in to some degree. And again, you don't have to go crazy with it. You don't have to spend several hours a day. You could just put in a few minutes a day and literally just learn one verse a day, one verse a week, couple verses a week, whatever. I think anybody can do this. Now there's a tendency if you see somebody who knows a lot of Bible, who has a lot of Bible memorized, there's a tendency to think like, oh, this person is special. This person is a savant. He's somebody, an expert, you know. But it's like this with every area of life. You see somebody run a marathon. Oh, well, they have special genes, and they're a freak of nature, and they can do it. You know, anybody who succeeds at anything, we tend to want to say, like, oh, well, you know, they're just gifted. Somebody's really good at piano. Oh, you're so talented. Oh, you have such a gift, right? And, you know, I always think about our former piano player, Catherine, who was obviously a virtuoso pianist. But what was funny is she would come down here every day, like Monday through Friday, she would be down here and she would be playing for like 3 or 4 hours a day. And she'd start out by just doing like scales and exercises. And she'd literally just like an hour, before she even plays a song, just hours of scales and exercises. And then it's just like, oh, you're so talented. Wow, you're so gifted. No, it's called hard work. It's called somebody coming down here and putting in 3 or 4 hours a day. And I guarantee you that anybody up here who is very skilled in music, you know, I don't want to leave people out, but you know, obviously the Balls, Alex and Kira and Daniel Hernandez, I don't want to leave people out, but I'm just saying, the people who you see up here, Melody, shout out, all right, you know, the people that you see up here, Brother Moses, all right, but I'm just saying, I know I'm leaving people out, but the point is, like anybody that you see up here, spent hundreds of hours practicing, or even thousands of hours practicing. Fact. No matter who you see up here, if they're playing skillfully with a loud noise, it is because they have put in huge amounts of time practicing. That's just the way the world works. And yeah, there are certain freaks of nature, but we don't have any at our church. I don't even know any in real life. You know, I know there's some guy who memorized the phone book or something. I've never met anybody like that. But, you know, I know there was a guy at First Baptist Church of Hammond. He was literally just a janitor, and he had, like, the whole New Testament memorized, and he was a janitor. And it's just like, you know, was this guy some kind of a special savant or a genius? No, he's just meditating on the Word of God while he mops the floor. Amen. He's just meditating on the Word of God day and night. It's just, he's just putting in the time, putting in the effort. And life is like the tortoise and the hare. You know, the people who just slowly keep putting in the effort, they will achieve greatness. And it's not anything that you have to be a special person or anything like that. So don't get this attitude of, oh, this person, you know, they memorize the Bible because they're young or because they're special or they're a genius or something. Or you know, maybe they're even a little bit autistic or something. You know, maybe he's on the spectrum or something. It's like, well, you know, you can label people all you want, but at the end of the day, it's called hard work. Amen. You know, and me personally, I've memorized a lot of Bible. And here's the thing is that it does not come easily to me. It's very hard. Like I said, I'm just being honest with you. For me to learn, because I try to learn 5 verses at a time, it usually takes me about 2 hours to learn 5 verses because I'm stupid. But I'm just saying, you know, it takes me a couple hours. And here's the thing. I've sat, and here's what I've found. When I'm memorizing things with little kids, like tiny little kids, I'm faster than them. Okay? Little kids. But, you know, when I memorize things with my kids that are like teenagers or like older children, they're way better at it than me. They're way faster at it than I am. You know, and I don't think it's because of age. I think I'm just honestly a little bit below average on how good I am at it. You know, I'm better than like a 3-year-old, but I'm like a little bit. I don't think I'm way below average, but I'm a little bit below average, if anything, because usually if I sit down and I'm memorizing with somebody, like they're usually doing a little better than me. Okay, but here's the thing. I'm just going to brute force it, and at the end of the day, I can still get it done. Amen. And so a lot of things in life, you just end up brute forcing them because you're just not good at it. And here's the thing. It's the same thing in school or whatever. You know, you have a subject that you're not good at. You can always just brute force it and just put in more time than the other guy. Mm-hmm. You know, some kids, yeah, they show up and math's easy and science is easy. Other kids have to work. But you know what? I've seen dull people, low IQ people, just brute force their way through a class and ace a class just through sheer hard work. Okay. And so I think that this is a good pursuit. I gave you 6 good reasons why you should incorporate this into your life. And hey, read your Bible every day, but also incorporate a little bit of Bible memory as a supplement. And then you know what you'll find? You'll find that when you're bored, when you're alone, when you got nothing going on, you can just pull out a chapter that you like and just quote it. And just quote it and just think about it. You know, and there have been times too when I got really busy and I'm like, I forgot to read my Bible today. I forgot to read the Bible. And then I'm just like, well, you know what? I'm just going to quote a couple chapters. And then I read my Bible. Call it good. You know what I mean? Now, obviously, we should be actually reading the Bible every day. But hey, this is a little cheat code. If you forget to read the Bible, you just recite a bunch of scripture and then you call it good, okay? And so, you know, we want to have God's word in our heart for all the reasons that I mentioned. You can do it. Anybody can do it. I encourage you to sit down today and come up with a plan. And if you're like, nah, this isn't really my thing, okay, 1 verse a week. If you can't do that, you're a complete loser, okay? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord. Thank you so much for giving us this wonderful book that we can cherish, that can be our friend and companion with us for our whole lives, Lord. Please just help us to take advantage of this wonderful treasure that you've given us and help us to hide your word in our hearts so that we might not sin against you. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
We'll sing one last song before we leave. Song number 384. Song number 384, In the Service of the King. Song number 384. I am happy in the service of the King. I am happy, oh so happy. I have peace and joy that nothing else can bring in the service of the King. In the service of the King, every talent I will bring. I have peace and joy and blessing in the service of the King. I am happy in the service of the King.